Brother Adam Sistrunk is going to bring us the word of exhortation this afternoon, and he's asked us to read in conjunction with his remarks Romans 13. Romans 13. The title of his exhortation is Let Our Light Shine. Let Our Light Shine. Romans 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay you tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything, but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed, than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Let's now give our attention to God.
Everybody good? Okay. Good. Well, greetings from the College and Ecclesia. It is great and wonderful to be able to be here with all of our brothers and sisters, to be able to, on this first day of the week, to be able to partake of those emblems that symbolize Christ's body, His blood, the life that He lived, the example that He left for us. So, with that being said, talking about let our light shine, Christ and Paul and Noah and David were some very key characters in the Bible that we could look at who, no matter what the situation was, they always seemed to overcome and to let their light shine. And it shined very brightly in some of the darkest and deepest moments that they have, including Christ when he was left alone in the wilderness. So, let's begin. As we know in today's society and times, we can be caught up in the political and social media side of things that takes our attention away from the time that we could spend studying Yahweh's Word. we can so easily be overcome by the things that are out there in the world, that our fleshly desire is to be attracted to those things. And it's so hard for us to overcome those temptations. But we have to put on the armor of light, be girded about, and always keep Yahweh first and following His commandments. As Brother Sid read in Romans 13, we know that the time is at hand and it is very near for Christ to return. So we must, at this time, it is very imperative for us that we must be diligently seeking Yahweh and diligently following after Christ's example that He left for us. So for this afternoon's lecture, like I said, our subject will be Let Our Light Shine. When we think about this subject, it is a direct reflection of our daily walk as we deal with different trials, tribulations, and shortcomings, as we try to overcome our worldly desires. So to start, let's turn to James chapter 1. So James chapter 1, we're going to read the first 22 verses here. And it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings, my brethren. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So we know that when we sin, it is because we are drawn away by our own lust and desires. We create our own problems. And sometimes we can compound our problems by letting ourselves get drawn into worldly things and also with the social media. This passage of verses also tells us to not be double-minded. And we know that we cannot serve two masters, because we will love the one and hate the other. That's in Matthew 6:24. In this passage, we also read about having endurance and overcoming temptation, that we too can gain a crown of righteousness. Isn't this what we truly seek? To be able to bring about God manifestation. In Scripture, where is the first place that light is mentioned? Genesis chapter 1, verses 3-5. So we all know about the creation, but it never hurts to go back and read it again. And starting at verse 3, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." So where did this light come from? It came from Yahweh. He created it. Therefore, it was pure and perfect. Light can be used also to show a type of favor from Yahweh. Let's look at Exodus 13, verses 21 and 22. So, the light to shine down can be used to show a type of favor. "And Yahweh went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people." So here, this is when Moses was leading the children of Israel, when they came out of Egyptian bondage. And Yahweh was the light that guided them so they could see and showed them the path, the way to go. If we look at Psalms chapter 27, this is a psalm written by David. This was his time whenever he was fleeing from King Saul. So Psalm chapter 27, verses 1-4. So it says, "Yahweh is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Yahweh is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and failed. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should arise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of Yahweh, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of Yahweh all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Yahweh and to inquire in his temple." So David wrote this when he was fleeing from King Saul. We know that David was the root of Jesse, who was also called a man after God's own heart. We know that David had his shares of shortcomings, but he was always in prayer and supplication with Yahweh. David knew when he had sinned, and David knew what to do when he did sin to be able to have forgiveness of those sins by prayer and supplication. David, even in his trials, would get back into Yahweh's favor and let his light shine. Everything in this life will not be about rainbows and butterflies for us on this journey that we are on. But when we pray and seek guidance from Yahweh, he will help us and he will guide us in the right direction and also help us to make the right choices. Let's look at, while we're here, in Psalms chapter 97, verses 9-12. So even when we are in our darkest time and we feel all alone, we are to pray, and we are to pray and seek guidance from Yahweh, because we are never really on our own. He's always there with us. He's always got an ear to hear us, as long as we are doing it in the right way. As long as we are diligently seeking him, he will always be there with us. So Psalms 97, 9-12. "For thou, Yahweh, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Yet ye that love Yahweh hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in Yahweh, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." And let's look at Psalms 119. verses 104 and through 106. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. In this passage of verses in Psalms 119, we read in verse 105, we are told that the word would be a lamp for our feet and a light to shine on our path. So if we are to read and study Yahweh's word, it will help guide us on our walk. And it will also be a light to help us see on our path so that we don't miss our mark. How often are we faced with trials and tribulations? How often do we have to make decisions that cause us to fall into sin? Brethren, we all fail, and we all come short of the glory at times. But we are so blessed to be able to get forgiveness for our sins. Being baptized or getting baptized is not an easy decision to make, nor is it an easy way to live, because we all face different trials. But it is the only way that we can live and have a hope of being resurrected and found worthy to be granted a place in Yahweh's vineyard. How many of us in here have ever worked in a garden? Raise your hand. How many of us in here have ever worked in a garden? Quite a few. Good. So, was working in a garden very easy? It's not easy, is it? So, if working in a garden, that's a continuous work, isn't it? Being in the garden, always having to hoe or spray something or pick something or cultivate something or harvest something. It's always something to do in a garden. It's never ending. So why would we think that at this time it would be easy for us to work in Yahweh's garden, in Yahweh's vineyard? Why would we think it would be so easy? You know, our trials and tribulations when they arise. If we've ever worked in a garden, we know what it's like to sweat, to crawl around on our knees, get dirt on us, you know, have to do whatever, dig holes to plant peas, having to drive stakes to hang tomatoes. Man, we know what it's like. Get stung, chased by bees in the cornfield. I mean, it's not ever easy. So why would we think that this life that we chose would be easy? It's not. So, working in the vineyard or in the garden, that would lead us to think of our probationary period. How come we would think that it would be so much different? We have to continually work on ourselves to be prepared for the harvest, because one day soon Christ will return to reap the harvest. And I know each one of us in here wants to be kept and not end up like tares to be cast into a fire. What happened to the chaff of the wheat? Let's look at Psalms while we're here, chapter 1, verse 4. And it says, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away." So the chaff in this verse is defined as refuse, worthless matter, especially that which is light, and apt to be driven by the wind. In Scripture, it could be false doctrines, fruitless designs, hypocrites, and ungodly men are compared to the chaff. We are told in Matthew, Mark, and Luke to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow after Christ. If we turn to Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 through 23, we will get some more direction, guidance that we need. So 6:20-23. And it says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." So, to keep our Father's commandments, and to remember them in our heart, and for a reminder, tie them around our neck, so that we will be able to have them with us in a time of need. We also read that they will lead us. These are our instructions, and these are our way of life. Paul asked a question in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We're going to read the first 6 verses here. Paul says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." So Paul asked a question to the Romans. So, you know, shall we continue in sin? Shall we? No, we're not. We're not supposed to continue in sin. We're supposed to crucify that old man and put on the new man, which is renewed in the spirit of the life of Christ Jesus. But when we do fall under temptation and we do give over to sin, we are to pray and seek forgiveness and guidance from Yahweh that we don't fall back into those temptations. So Christ left an example for us to follow. We know that Christ let his light shine very brightly. If we look at John chapter 1, John chapter 1, starting at verse 4. And it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So Christ was made. He was the true light. His example that he left for us was the most defining thing for us as Christadelphians. As we see at baptism, we have made an oath and we have made a choice that we were going to follow after him, and that everything we do or everything that we have done from that point in time after baptism, we're supposed to be following after Christ. We're supposed to give thanks in all that we do You know, it's what the Bible tells us. We're supposed to give thanks. No matter, you know, whatever it is, we're supposed to give thanks. You know, and sometimes if we think about that, when we're out in the world, depending on what we're doing, you know, we might have a kind of an epiphany and go, well, you know, I probably shouldn't do that. Because I'm supposed to give thanks for everything that I've done, and it's probably not a good choice. I probably just need to wash my hands and go the other way. You know, but a lot of times our fleshly desire is so strong because we're born in this flesh. We're born unto a woman. Therefore, we have that Adamic condemnation, you know, that was put upon us at birth. And so, you know, with having this fleshly nature, it is so easy to give over to sin. It's always hard to do the right thing. Who remembers growing up and your mom and daddy always getting on to you? Don't do that. Don't do that. Whoop, whoop. And what did we do? We always did what they said don't do. Because that's just the way we tried to see what our limits were as we were growing up. We pushed it to the limit. Okay, what can I get away with this time? Okay, well, I know I can't do that. What can I get away with this time? Well, unfortunately, in this aspect of life, in the spiritual nature, we can't push those limits. We have to abide in His law, and His commandments have to be what guide us in the direction that we go, in the choices that we make. So, let's look at John chapter 8, verse 12. So we got Christ here speaking. He says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but what shall they have? Shall have the light of life." So, if we are to walk after Him, if we are to follow after Him, if we are to seek Yahweh, then we shall have the light of life. We've been heard so many exhortations this weekend that have dealt with this same aspect of what we need to do to be able to be worthy, to be able to bring about God manifestation, to be able to have a place preserved for us to be in the kingdom. I mean, that's every class this weekend has looked at an aspect of that. This whole weekend, that's what we have seen. And now Christ has left us an example that we should follow after. So let's look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. So this here too is Christ speaking again. He says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So Christ spoke very plainly in these passages that we've read. If we do not let our light shine, we are failing. If we hide our light, we are also failing. If we are ashamed of our light, we too are still failing. What did Christ say about the salt in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 5? If it had lost its savor, it is good for nothing. So, we are given a good example. We are given a good example here of what will happen to us if we lose our savor. If we do not follow after Christ like we are supposed to. My thing is acting up now. So, we have received instructions of the way we're supposed to live. We have seen the example of Christ's life of what we're supposed to. So if we are like the salt and we lose our savor, we are good for nothing, and we will be cast out just as the salt was, because we are good for nothing. There's nothing left to do with it. If we think about how salt was used long ago, how important salt was in people's lives, what purpose did the salt serve? Salt was used to preserve food, such as meats. Do we not want Yahweh to preserve us, just like the salt is used to preserve the meat? Do we not want Yahweh to keep us, to save us, to leave us a place in His kingdom? If we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to look at some of the writings of Paul now. So 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I like to have a lot of verses. So we're going to read 14 through 17. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So if we want to be kept and we want to be preserved, there's one thing we're told here very strictly that we can't be. We can't be unequally yoked with the world. We have to separate from the world. We have to separate from those who cause a division amongst us. We have to get away from that. Because if we stay there, you know, it's kind of like cancer. And if you don't, and people that have had cancer, if they don't get all of it the first time they go in, when it comes back the second time, it's not just one small spot that it's going to get. It's going to get the whole body. And we don't want that to happen. So it has to be cut off in the beginning and done away with, so that we don't fall back into it. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read 7 through 11. It says, be not ye therefore partakers with him, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And Philippians chapter 2, 12 through 16. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So Paul's writings here, he's given us very, very strict and solid instructions of what we shall hold to be truths and what we shall disregard and cut off and do away with. It is up to us, though, to separate ourselves and to not be caught up in it. It is not an easy thing to do, because sometimes it can involve families. And that is very, very, very hard to draw back from families. Very hard to cut the connections. We have to be mindful of the things that we get ourselves into and what it can lead us to. It can lead us to do right or wrong. Depends. We have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So if we look at three verses from our scripture reading in Romans chapter 13. So Romans chapter 13, verse 11 through 14. It says, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." So we have this armor that we can put on, and that would help protect us. We have this word, God's inspired word, that we can go back and read and get understanding and to seek after Yahweh, and we will be given knowledge, and with knowledge comes wisdom, and with wisdom we're able to guide ourselves in the right direction, or we're able to find the answers to be able to separate, to cut off that which is bad. If we look at 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter chapter 3, 15 through 18. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, that just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." So we are to be ready and prepared for the time when somebody asks of us what we believe in, what we hold to be truths. No matter what the situation is or what circumstances we may face, for our answer. Just as Christ was when he was brought forth in front of Pontius Pilate, Christ gave a good confession of his faith, and he knew what trials he was set to face for his answers, yet he never wavered from them. When we are faced with such a decision as this, how would we answer? So if we follow after Christ, and we follow after God's commands, if we knew that we were to be tormented and sentenced to punishment that would lead to death, how would we truly answer the question? How scared would we be? Would we still be about our Father's business? Would we still keep our faith and endure to the end? Or would we be looking for the fastest way out from the punishment, even if this means to lose our faith and to denounce, even to know who Yahweh is? Christ was faced with a very, very tough circumstances. And yet, his faith never wavered. His light was still shining brightly. And he was not going to miss his mark. We do not know what we might face going forward. But we must not lose our faith, and we cannot lose sight of our goal. We have to put on our armor of light and press forward towards the mark. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us, or into the kingdom of his dear Son, or qualified us for the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 while we're over here. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to read verse 11 and 12. And it says, But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And I want to read Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to be skipping around. Not going to read the whole chapter, although the whole chapter is very, very good. Proverbs chapter 4. So I want to read verse 1 and 2, and then I'm going to skip down to 5. It says, Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you what? Good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. And then skip down to verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. And then I'll skip over to verse 13. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. And then skip down to verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. If we want our light to shine, then we too must take up our cross and follow after Christ. We cannot have our faith wavering, tossed to and fro by various doctrines. There is only one name given under heaven whereby man might be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ. We are to take on the name of Christ and continue to work in Yahweh's vineyard, just as Christ was, until the day comes when we are called to judgment. The only way to produce a pure light is to let Yahweh's word be our guide, to study and read. The time is near for Christ to return and gather the saints. And the question still remains, shall he find faith when he does return? Brothers and sisters, I say now it is time for us to take a good look at ourselves and make sure that we are ready for that day when Christ returns. And let us get ourselves prepared. If we are studying Yahweh's word and we are following after that example that Christ left for us, then our light is shining brightly. And we must continue down this path during our probationary period. Our light doesn't need to blink or go dim. Doesn't need to flicker. We must recharge our batteries by reading and studying Yahweh's word. We must take a stand for the truth, be grounded and deeply rooted in the truth that we won't waver. In closing, I'd like to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Start at verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, and the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that, whether we wake or sleep, we should live again with him. We should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Thank you.